I do this for my culture, 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 culture. Welcome back to For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening. Folks, we've been talking about it. I'm talking about the lies. The president has been in the denial of destruction for so long, not taking full responsibility. And based upon his remarks today, he's not taking responsibility for this situation. He doesn't even think he did anything wrong. That's the crazy part. He doesn't even think he did anything wrong. Can we play that part of the clip where the president said these things at his Save America rally? Check this out.
Now it is up to Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy. And after this, we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down. We're going to walk down anyone you want. But I think right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol. And we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them. Because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong.
You will never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength. You have to be strong. Wow. Oh, did the president walk with his supporters? No. Let's go back to the line. Let me hear from Elliot. Told Elliot I was going to kick it off with him. Elliot, thank you for your patience. What's your take?
Faraji, I just want to say a couple of things real quick. You know, we talk about communicators. You're a communicator. You and Dr. Care, because you listen. You talk and you listen to people. You don't just, I mean, you listen to people. Here's the deal. There's a difference between communicators and entertainers.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump is, and Leo Barrow said, and I love what he says, people have to remember he's an entertainer. He's an entertainer. Ronald Reagan was an entertainer. They were actors. And I'm not trying to get dramatic, but got to remember this. And people around the world, even if they never took a literacy course, they know that they're impressed by entertainers, Faraji. Entertainers. You're a communicator. You listen. You talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difference between entertainers. He's an entertainer, and people love entertainers. I don't care who you are, Frank Sinatra, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Around the world, people love entertainers. And Trump is. People have to remember he's an entertainer. Leo Barrow says it. That's why I love him. He is an. You have to remember Donald Trump is. Ronald Reagan was an entertainer. People say he was a great communicator, Faraji. Yes, he was definitely articulate, no doubt. But he was also a really impressive entertainer. And America, the whole world's impressed with great entertainers. Great entertainers, not communicators.
But you know what? The thing about that, Elliot, and I agree, I understand why you say that. The thing is that, you know, You're talking about a man that has the nuclear codes. You're talking about a man that has access to resources like no other human being on the planet.
Exactly.
You're talking about a man that's commander-in-chief of, you know, the armed services of this country. You're talking about a man who has made decisions on a whim.
Because he's
and so we don't need entertainers. We need thinkers. We need public servants. We need individuals
about.
That understand the gravity or the gravitas of the moment.
I mean, I love Sammy Davis, but I would never want him to be president. Come on.
I mean, let's say it. I got Jay-Z on my intro. I love the dude. Don't want him to be president. I wouldn't want him to be mayor.
Taraji,
unless he understands the gravity of the moment.
This is not entertainment. This is for real. You're talking
this is real life, man. And
Groucho Marx was an entertainer, but not a politician.
That's all I'm saying, brother. And I understand why you say that. Trust and believe. I understand it, and I agree with you. The thing is that if we get so riled up into the entertainment, and I'm not saying you, obviously, no, you know, I'd love to hear from Trump supporters on this because
cool.
I'm hearing, I mean, other than what we saw, you can't tell me as a Trump supporter that you agree with this, that this makes sense.
For Roger, if I can say real quickly, I used to abhor the idea that actors and comedians wanted to. I love what Chris Rock does. I think he's awesome. I do. But sometimes we just have to kind of let entertainment and politics. You know what I'm saying?
No, right? I get it. And there's always been a big conversation. Elliot, I appreciate you. I thank you so much for checking in. My man Dwayne on my Facebook, he was like, LOL, he is currently entertaining 75 million people to civil war. And that joke is not funny. That joke ain't funny. Let's go back to the line very quickly. Let me hear from Tina. Tina, Linda, Vaughn, Real Thomas. Tina, talk to me. What's your take on this? Thank you for your patience.
How you doing, Brother Roger? I do enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And I'm not going to be real long, but I just got a few things that I just want to share. First, we keep seemingly to try to understand ignorance. You will never, if you're not ignorant, you're never going to understand the ignorance in the mind of somebody who has either been poisoned by something or been taught to think a certain way, and it's taken root and it's deep in them. You'll never understand it. So I don't really try to even figure out what's on the mind of those people that are following that man. The other thing is, I think we have made Donald Trump into, like, he's more than a man. With all the titles, he is the chief commander, all of those things. You know, everything that he knows and has access to, true. But I think there's someone else that we need to really put our sights on, and I hope in the midst of all that we're doing, most people are praying and sending up prayers to God to, you know, make a change and to turn about, because he's able to do it even in the 12th hour.
Oh, I know that. Amen.
You know, but I hear sometimes when people call in, I hear people like a fear of what Donald Trump can do.
Yeah.
Nothing's getting past God. Nothing's getting past him. So he knows what's going on. I think we need to check ourselves. Now, I don't mean we lay down and look up at the sky and wait for the Lord to make a move. But we better surely seek his face. The Bible, you know, the Bible gives us instruction. We need to seek his face, turn from our thinking and our way of doing, and really seek his face so that the world can see. Lift him up so that the world can see there is God still in control. I just am getting bothered. I wish we could just wipe Donald Trump out of history, out of everything, because I think he does get off on the fact that he's causing, that so many people are saying his name. I don't even want to acknowledge.
Well,
anymore.
I understand that. I, Tina,
really
first and foremost, I agree.
Doing, let's be praying.
I agree.
The only one, all of this can be only really done, every issue that we have right now, only can be solved by divine intervention.
You're right.
So we need to go to the place. It's good for us to talk about it because some people were not aware of half the things that go on without your show and without Dr. K.
Sure.
So it's good to have the discussion. But the bottom line is we need to get to our roots, and our roots are in prayer.
Tina, I couldn't disagree with you. I couldn't disagree with you, and I appreciate you, sis, and I could not disagree with you on that. I think that, you know, to add to it, what you just said, you know, we it's important that we don't forget the forces of God, the divine elements that are present now. Some people would like to believe that there is no divinity in this moment. I disagree with that. I think there is great divinity in this moment. Matter of fact, if you look at the pattern of God, not to go too far into this space, but if you just simply look at the pattern of God, he always works in darkness. Children are born in the womb of darkness. Our greatest growth and our moments of clarity often come when we're at our lowest points in our lives. There's something about God and darkness, the relationship there, that even in the midst of a national dark moment, you can go to any part of the scripture, from whether it's Bible or Holy Quran, it is in those dark moments that God manifests himself. So we're going to keep that there. So I agree. I think that we should turn into prayer. We should. Most importantly, I think that along with turning to prayer, we should also be mindful of our responsibility in this dark hour. This is such a great moment for us to plan, to organize. And I wanted to ask the dean, we just didn't have enough time tonight. But I wanted to get his thoughts, and I'll ask him the next time, to get his thoughts about, you know, where the efforts of black and brown communities should go. He talked a little bit about the issue of voting and what voting has done, Stacey Abrams and the great work she did. But then there are other places, there are other topics that we have to address, other issues that we have to address, that in this dark moment we can get some traction on, even in the darkest of moments. Black folk, traditionally, we have persevered and turned darkness, or as they say, turned lemons into lemonade. We have turned darkness into forces of light. We've turned our pain into power. So we are so entrenched with dark moments and being in darkness, whether it was the darkness of the journey, being taken from our homeland in Africa through the industry and institution of chattel slavery on the ships. We were in the dark holes, whether it is in the darkness of the plantation, being in the back of the woods, planning, praying, hoping, whether it was in the dark moments when our towns have been burned down by white supremacy, whether it's in the dark times of living under Jim Crow and institutional racism. I mean, we have persevered through darkness. So this is nothing new for us. This is nothing new for us. Pain is not new to black people. Darkness is not new for black people. Suffering is certainly not new to black people. Going without, being told one thing and then given nothing, unfulfilled promises. That's nothing new. So, Tina, I agree with you wholeheartedly, sis. We do have to get back to the root, because you do have a generation now. And I'm not talking about the babies. I'm talking about those in their 20s and some in their 30s who don't have no context of our struggle. And because they grew up in a very, I would say, a time where they have been given a lot and they have been surrounded by much, they don't understand how to adapt and they don't always have the fortitude to get through the dark moments. That's where we have to go. In order for us to not lose each other during this dark moment, because sometimes you can be holding hands with somebody in the dark and they trying to pull away and you trying to grab one way and they going another. And then when you lose hands, it's hard for you to find each other again in those dark moments. That's the thing we have to strengthen right now, is that this is the time to teach and to empower each other and to unite each other, so that way we don't lose ourselves, we don't lose our children, we don't lose our sense of purpose, our mission, we don't lose our sanity in this dark moment. Let's go back to the line. Vaughn, talk to me. Checking in from D.C., then we got Linda and Real Thomas.
Hello, Faraji. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Vaughn. How are you, brother? Thank you for your patience.
Great. Let me go straight to the point. I want to say this from the perspective of an African-American that was born outside of the United States and live in a country where there is dictatorship. Now, what happened in the United States on the 6th of this month was a classic coup d'etat. It was not a riot. It was a classic coup d'etat. That's point one. Point two, when Donald J. Trump says he won the election, yes, he is right that he won the election, because in his mind, 75 million people voted for him. Mm-hmm. And out of the 75 million people who voted for him, 80% of them are European Americans. So most of these white nationalists that went to take over the Congress, to take over the Capitol, they want to cancel the vote of non-European Americans. This is what is happening. So the next part that I would say is African Americans who are descendants of slaves, of African slaves, Africans from the Caribbean islands who live in this United States, who are citizens. This is the time when we have to realize that we have to come together, strategize, and start exhibiting this power that Stacey Abrams has shown us the way. Stacey Abrams has shown us that our vote do matter, and that is exactly why the European American population, they are extremely unhappy, vexed, because these people cannot come from picking cotton to picking president. I leave it at that.
Mm. There it is. There it is. Vaughn, thank you so much for checking in. Mm. Linda, Miss Linda, talk to me. What's your take?
Hi, good evening, Faraji.
Good evening.
And I just want to say God bless. And I just want to say that, you know, when light appear, darkness disappear. And I just want to say the sister was so right. Mm. And I'm going to tell you something. Donald Trump, by right, not only should be impeached, he should have been behind prison walls long time ago. For all of the lives that he has destroyed, baby, that man has destroyed so many lives. But all I know is that he is trying to provoke and incite the same thing that he provoked, that took place in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And on a few other occasions where there was peaceful, protests going on, he sent, guards in, to disrupt and to hurt people. You know, really, this man is very cruel and wicked. And he's always mentioned about the witch hunt, because that's exactly what he is. He is a witch. Sent straight from the pit of hell, and he has no remorse about not one life that has been destroyed. And yes, he is not. And like I told y'all before, that Donald Trump knew that he lost the election, but that he was going to cause as much destruction and chaos as he could before he leave that White House.
Hey, Miss Linda, you right, and I appreciate you, Miss Linda. You thank you so much for checking in. The thing is that, and I want us to keep it in some mind, folks, is that he did this on the basis of telling lies and misinformation and getting people riled up around false ideas, while at the same time using using principles. Now when the title, the word patriot, when that word comes up, folks, and we got to think about language, because language is powerful. Words are powerful nowadays, right? When we say patriot, well, what do you mean now? A patriot was one who had a love for their country. They had love for all. They had love for the whole, and that they would do things in the best interest of the whole, right, for their country. Now, it's nothing wrong with being a patriot. There's nothing wrong with loving where you come from. There's nothing wrong with loving your homeland. But it has to be a healthy love there. And your love can't supersede the rights of others. Your love can't be so overwhelming that it's blind to truth. See, that's where now we get into a space now that's where things have gone. Because now to be a patriot, you just seem like a zealot. You're just going all in with no thinking. You're going all in with no understanding. You're going all in spite of truth. I mean, that's crazy. And those are the quote-unquote worst patriots. The best patriots are those who speak the truth, who encourage people to get back to a place, to principles that will sustain that situation. Dr. Martin Luther King is one of the greatest patriots we ever had in this country. Why? He loved the country so much that he was trying to do his work to bring the country back to the standard and the principles by which the country had fallen off from. Standards and principles that this country established as being the criteria for itself. But people hated Dr. King. People hated all of our heroes and sheroes that exposed the ugliness of this country. Let's go to Real Thomas. Talk to me, Thomas.
How are you, my friend?
Hey, brother, we all right. How are you, Thomas? How are you holding up, brother?
Oh, man, I'm blessed and highly favored, man. These buckers don't scare me around here, man. They don't scare me. But I want to say congratulations on your new show, man.
My new show?
Yeah, I thought this was For the Coast Book Gospel Hour I was listening to. Ain't nothing wrong with that now. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
You got me on that one, Thomas.
I got the whole say so, you know? But, man, let me say this, man. For the ones that's been calling, giving us scripture, God bless y'all. But y'all forgetting about one of them scriptures. It says that he did not give you the spirit of fear. You
Facts.
Should fear no man. That's including, as Brother Leo would say, Donald the actor Trump.
Mm.
He knows he's on his way out of here, Faraji.
Yeah.
One thing about Trump, let's say it this way. All the people that he has sent, that he has shot their death execution for within the past 2 months or so, past month or so, in the federal prison in Indiana, he knows what it feels like now to have his time almost up.
Mm.
He knows what it feels like now. He went down to Alamo, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I guess called himself Costa's Last Stand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Roger, do you know how that story ends?
Come on, talk to us. Talk to us, Thomas. Go ahead.
Custer dies, that he got killed in the end.
Yep.
So therefore, Trump is showing you guys that he's on his way out of here. Ain't nothing y'all can do about it. Now, they said they want to storm the Capitol to take their country back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Roger, you're going to storm the Capitol. You're going to take your country back, but you're going to destroy your United States Capitol. Exactly what country are you trying to take back? What country are these folks trying to take back? Man, my grandmama said something to me long time ago in South Carolina, and God knows. Matter of fact, Jim Clyburn, my frat brother, man, he turned around and said it the other day. Black folks, stay out of these buckers' business, man. Stay out of them. Stay out of these white folks' business. Raji, they're destroying. They're destroying themselves from within, and that's sad. Now I know the FBI issued stern warnings about all the attacks on the different capitals and stuff coming up. I don't think they better watch out for the capitals, Raji. If I'm going to attack you, why am I going to tell you I'm going to attack you? Because then you can have the surprise. The surprise element will be on your side then.
Yeah.
If I tell you, if I say, Faraji, I'm coming to the station to get you, then you're going to be preparing for me at the station.
Right.
But if I'm sitting outside your house, and you're not expecting me to come to your house, that's the element of surprise.
Hey, Thomas, I got to stop you right there, but you're bringing up an excellent point. You're bringing up an excellent point. My goodness. My goodness. Folks, we got to take our final pause when we come back. I know it's something for us to try to talk about this and then kind of switch gears. But just know that if we're going to address, like, we have to, and I love how you're thinking, Thomas. If you want to address the situation, we have to address it strategically. How do you, and this is what I was taught, how do you defeat white supremacy? Through black excellence. How do you defeat violence? By establishing peace. How do you defeat chaos? By establishing order. So now we have the circumstances are there. We have our marching orders. We have the history. We have the lessons. And we certainly got the brilliance and talent of the people. We just got to learn how to bring it all together and organize it to create the change that we want to see. Folks, I got to take my final pause. When we come back, we'll check in with the brothers of the We Are Us movement and so much more as we start to work towards celebrating the great legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Stay rotten with me. It's Fuller Culture on WEAA.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
For the culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening. Man, oh man, I enjoy the conversations that I have with you. So many of you, thank you. My man Bashi checked in on my Facebook page. He posted a quote that I really enjoy. I never heard this quote, Bashi. But it's from Clarence Darrow, who said, quote, true patriotism hates injustice in its own land more than anywhere else. Facts. I love that. We got to redefine patriotism. Nationalism. Right? We got to redefine those things because language is everything now. And we're living at a time where the language will be used, or rather weaponized, to influence, to destroy, and will be used as a weapon to lead to killing. Just with a word. The old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is not true. Don't ever teach your children that, because they're going to be in for a rude awakening. Words hurt. We seeing how far a lie can go and being used as a weapon against the sanity and the humanity of people. Just with a simple lie. The spoken word hurts. The written word can hurt. Words hurt. I don't want to get on no soapbox, but Bashi, I appreciate that, brother, for posting that. True patriotism hates injustice in its own land more than anywhere else. I want to get, look, we got Joe on the lineup, but I'm going to get Joe really quickly, because Joe, you've been patient, and then we'll talk to our wonderful brothers of the We Are Us movement. Joe, talk to me. What's your take on this, brother?
Yeah, thank you, Arazi.
How you doing?
Thank you very much. Fine, sir.
Good.
Yeah, I'm going to be real quick. When we were talking about racism, you know, we also talking about how do you expose it. And you expose it by identifying it. And then once you identify it, you just wait. It's going to expose itself. So then you can say, hey, there it is. And that's exactly what we've been doing. We've been saying that this administration is a racist type of a regime,
mm-hmm.
that we tried to expose it early, and it showed up. Now, this is what gets me. Now, you have 50% of Republicans probably voted for Trump because they like his policies or, you know, like the amount of money that they can get from taxes, not paying the taxes, whatever. And then you got another portion, to me, that look like they straight racist. I mean, you know, you can see what they wear on the T-shirts. They saying 60 million is, you know, is not enough, referring to the Jewish people. They also talk about lynching and blacks go back home and all the other little things. Everything that seems like any policy that's going to benefit, you know, working people, they associate that with being black, and then they want to cut it. That's how I look at it. So with that being said, is that how come a lot of the black people, Jewish people, Italian people, Christian people, all that voted for him and said that now you see that he is a racist? How come you're not stepping up now and say, wait a minute, I'm wrong. I need to get out of this, people, like a lot of other Republicans doing. They leaving him, guy, because he exposed himself. If you in it, that means you're part of them. And that's all I have to say about that.
Hey, Joe, I appreciate you on that, and you're right. Why aren't they speaking out? Because the poison partisan politics, brother, runs this country. Man, you know how many Republicans want to jump ship? But you got some other ones that are trying to teach people to hold down the fort, hold the guard, hold the line, don't break rank. He's a part of our party. I didn't get to it today. Maybe we can get to it tomorrow, Demi. Arnold Schwarzenegger and what he said in his remarks. But he said something that I thought was really important. Because he had condemned the violent riots at the Capitol last week. And he said, Teddy Roosevelt made this statement. Patriotism means to stand by the country. It does not mean to stand by the president. Patriotism means to stand by the country. It does not mean to stand by the president. You can take that and put it even among black people. This is bigger than individuals. This is about us. This is not about the I, the me. This is about the we, the our, the us. See? So when you're talking about doing work that is for the betterment and for the interest of the whole, and I'm saying the whole, the real whole, not the fake whole, not the segmented whole, but the real whole. Justice is better for the whole. That's for everybody. Everybody can gain from justice. Truth is everybody can gain from truth, right? That's good for the whole. So that brings, you know, just wanted to put that out there. We'll try to see if we can play that, what Mr. Schwarzenegger had to say tomorrow. But speaking of the whole, I'm so excited to have my brothers joining me on the line tonight. Brothers who I have a great love and respect for. Brothers who have been doing the great work of putting aside their egos, putting aside their personal desires, and coming to the table for the benefit of the whole. And you can't get a better movement when it's called We Our Us. Because that tells you right there, it ain't about the big eyes, little U's. It ain't talking about minister this, pastor that, councilman this, professor that. It's talking about we as men, our community, us as a people. I mean, it considers the whole. And you want to talk about really busting up on a nonviolent rebellion? Get black people to become unified. That's the greatest move of warfare in this country. United black people. We don't need no guns. We don't need no weapons. As the scriptures say, no weapons formed against the righteous shall prosper. When you are united in your efforts, your unity, the great honorable Elijah Muhammad said it best, is more powerful than an atomic bomb. You can't just, there's no policy, there's no stance, there's nothing that can get beyond that unity unless that unified group wants that thing to get past it or through it. So I want to welcome back to the airwaves of WEAA and For the Culture, my brothers, Brother Student Captain Andrew Muhammad of Muhammad Mosque Number 6 and Brother Eric Brown, both men who have decided to put aside their personal desires and to pick up the burden of the collective desire to bring peace in the streets. And they're talking about how there is a great effort to continue to do the work that they've been doing, walking through the neighborhoods, connecting with our people. But on MLK Day, and this is a beautiful day, that day, 1 year ago, yours truly, my man Alex, and many black men from around the city, we convened in West Baltimore right there at State Center, and it was thousands of us. And, of course, the sisters came out to support, and we walked to show our solidarity and unity. And even beyond, before that day happened, there was a lot of work and relationship building that had to happen for that day to be great. So don't think that was just out of osmosis or something. There was a work put in to make sure that unity was exemplified, that the whole city saw. And so we're going back on Martin Luther King's birthday. See, this is what you let you know. And I know, brothers, I'm talking a lot, but I'm excited. I'm excited because people tend to believe that if you're Muslim or if you're Christian, that we don't have a love for Dr. King. But you don't understand the great mission that Dr. King was on and the great sacrifice that he was making. And that he was really fighting for the whole. He fought for mm-hmm. the whole so much at the expense of his own family. Because the little monies that he got coming in, he put it back into the movement. Of course, he gave his wife some, but he didn't get rich off of this struggle. He wasn't mm-hmm. a rich man in materials, but he was certainly rich in spirit. And he will forever, his name will forever, and the name of his beloved wife, Dr. Coretta Scott King, they will forever be remembered as one of the great families of our struggle. So I want to have Brother Andrew Muhammad and Brother Eric Brown. Thank you so much, brothers, for coming in, for checking in this evening. We're not in the studio, but you're on the line. But I appreciate you, brothers. Brother Andrew, assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, soldier. How you feeling?
Man, I'm fired up because of y'all, man.
Yeah, I can hear it, man. I can hear it in your voice, man, and it's great that you are fired up. You're doing an excellent job, brother. So, you know, keep putting that word out there to our people. So
praise be to the God.
We fired up too, bro. We ready to go, man.
So talk to us, Brother Andrew. Then we're going to bring in Brother Eric. We got a big day coming up. Martin Luther King Day, 2021, January the 18th. And yes, it is on that day that you are calling it for the streets to come together. What is this all about, Brother Andrew?
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank God for this opportunity. Secondly, I want to thank you and your 88.9 for allowing us a few minutes on the show. So basically what it is we are us, you know, as you spoke about, we did the same thing last year.
That was amazing.
We put in a lot of work to keep that, you know, to bring brothers together from different backgrounds. And it was a very positive day. It was one of the best days I had in Baltimore City.
Come on, man. Come on,
yes,
brother.
Sir. And the brothers was fired up. I mean, we were so fired up, to be honest with you. We didn't know what the hell we was doing. because we wasn't expecting all them brothers, you know? We really wasn't. We're being honest. We wasn't expecting all them brothers, not that many. So this year, we are fully prepared. We inviting a lot of local celebrities, a lot of rappers, a lot of brothers that have influence in the community, in the streets. And the mission is, or the goal is to stop the killing.
Mm-hmm.
Put your guns down. We have a peace agreement that we put together. We have a pledge that we put together. We also we inviting our women as well, because they are the backbone of our families, whether we believe it or not. You know, they are the backbones of our families and our communities. So, you know, they did their job, so we had to do our job, but we still want the women there. So basically, what's going to take place, Faraji, is the first thing is safety first. That's the first thing. So everybody will have on masks, everybody will have on gloves, if they want gloves. Everybody will be practicing social distance. And then we do have a message of peace. And that's what all the brothers that's coming and the sisters that's going to be delivering a few words. Everything is going to be centered around stop the killing. Stop killing our women and children.
Mm-hmm.
Stop killing innocent people. Stop killing each other. And then we have a Stop the Beast hotline that we've been using and has been very active. And we've been promoting that all around the city with posters and flyers. And we've been putting out a lot of beasts. A whole lot of beasts around the city that we can't talk about, but you know, we've been very active in the community. As you see, what you can see on social media, you know, we unfortunately we have to show that because nobody else is going to promote what we're doing. I personally don't like it, but I know that people need to see what we're doing, so we go live so they can see some of the work that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so much work being done. You know, I'll just say this. This Saturday, we had about 150 people show up at Bishop Stokes Church. So the two young ladies that got gunned down on which street was that? Which street was that, E?
Utah.
That was Utah Street?
Yeah, I believe it was over Utah.
Carrie, I think it was Carrie Street. But anyway,
Carrie, I'm sorry. Yeah, Carrie.
Yeah, Carrie, two sisters got gunned down. And we basically, they had between them, they had 11 children. So we adopted the boys. We raised money for them. We getting them long-term care. We meeting with mental health professionals this Thursday at 12. We getting them clothes, food. And we just going to take care of them young guys, you know, as long as we can, you know, as long as we breathing. And then hopefully they'll do the same thing because we don't talk about the families that's been, the children that's impacted by the murder.
Absolutely.
And it's so deep. It's so deep that we'll be on here all day talking. But January the 18th is going to be an epic day for our city. And we're going to continue to promote Stop the Killing, Stop the Beast, and reach out to these brothers and go into these communities where some of our people are afraid to go and talk to these brothers. And I understand that. Who wants to go on Pennsylvania launch at 8 o'clock at night? And you got 30 youngins out there with hoods on, and they smoking weed and drinking beer with no mask. No, nobody wants to do that. But you, that's where you get your answers at. Mm. So you got to talk to these brothers and find out what their needs are, what they really want. You know, do you want to leave this city? Are you in the beef? Do you need treatment? Can I get you a job? Do you just need somebody to talk to? Do you need a house? Do you need clothes? Can I help your son? Can I help your mother? You know, so this is what we all us do, and this is what we've been doing, you know, for the last 2 years. COVID slowed us down a little bit, but our people continue to kill in our city, so it left us no option, man. We, you know, even with our own safety and our families, we had to come out and sacrifice our lives, you know, just to save our people. So that's what it's all about, man. But Monday, like I said, is going to be epic. We're going to have a little bit of music. We're going to give away coats. We're going to be giving away groceries, boxes, about 600 boxes of food.
Wow.
We're going to have vendors out there for drug treatment. Marvin McKinstry, MOED, NCIA, expungement. So we're going to have it all. And that's what we need. We need corporations, businessmen to help us. If they don't want to take these resources to these brothers, let us know. We are us. We on Facebook. We have our own website, weareus.org. Give them to us. Let us know what services you provide, and we're going to take them to the brothers in the hood. And you want to talk about getting the murders down so our city can have some sense of normalcy as you talk about safety, so my grandmother and your grandmother can walk to the grocery store, or the carryout for that matter, and get a chicken box or a cheesesteak or her groceries, and walk home and don't have to worry about somebody gunning it down. So that's what we strive to do, not only to educate these brothers about how the community supposed to look, but also we want to service them and teach them how a decent and safe community should look like as well.
Absolutely. And, Brother Captain, I couldn't have said it better, sir, the way you put it out there. I mean, you know, I think it's important that people understand that as a leader of men, a trainer of men, that people understand that you have a heart of gold, brother, and you have sacrificed so much from your family to your personal time to do this and have been consistent. And so I wanted to thank you on air for all of the great work that you have done with leading men and being a great partner and just an all-around good brother in this effort, because you don't do this for the glory, Brother Captain. I know how that situation can be, but you do it because you do have you have this deep love for our people. And so, you know, when I tell people, look, Brother Captain, he moves around a lot. You might not get him on the first ring, but once you get in touch with him and he locks in with you, he gonna put a responsibility on you. He gonna make you accountable for what you say, and it shows each and every day the work that you do, Brother Captain. So we thank you and we love you and appreciate you so much for this. And I know, you know, our beloved student minister, Minister Carlos Muhammad, is listening. And you know, and tuned in along with his grandmother and wonderful, beautiful daughter. So, you know, it's this is a family effort. Brother Eric Brown, I want to get you in. I know we got a few moments left. 335 homicides occurred in the city last year. People might be asking a question. Are these walks, these efforts of We Are Us and many other efforts that are trying to stop the violence in the city isn't even making a difference? What would you say to those brothers and sisters?
Salam alaikum.
Walaikum salam, Brother Eric.
I would say they would have to give us time to see. You know, I don't think it's time to judge the walk. I don't think it's time to judge the movement right now. I don't think that. I think you just got to give us some time to see. But we know that in the last 6 years, 2,000 people have been killed in our city.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at all the organizations that's been functioning now for the last decade. The question should be asked to them, is the thing they're doing working? It shouldn't be asked to us, right? So if you didn't have a decade to solve the problem and you're still getting funded and our people still dying left and right, then that I think that question, the people should properly ask that question to those people. But as for We Are Us, sure, I think give us some time. I think we should be giving maybe at the, we certain that by the end of this year, the murder rate will go down in this city.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we going all out on that.
Right.
We're going all out on that. And, you know, just like you say with the brother is, we talk about Brother Cat, Peacemaker of the Year.
Right.
So, you know, so we know it's working. That's why he the peace. That's why he the Peacemaker of the Year. So we've been led by one of the most humblest, peaceful brothers we got, and the great pastors and the bishop and so many different organizations makes up We Are Us.
Right. Praise God, brother.
We understand.
Praise God.
Black people coming together. That's what this is. It's black people coming together. You talk about CEOs. You talk about white people coming along. CEOs, all these different titles out there, but we all humble ourselves, man. We all humble ourselves to the umbrella We Are Us. We not like a lot of these people out here, and they think they got power, but they don't. And they start power tripping. They power tripping with no power.
You know? Hey, look, I got to stop you right there, Brother Ack, but you are right. And I think that in a city like Baltimore, we love the titles, unfortunately. We love the power trip. But at the end of the day, it's about making an impact. And that's what I know these brothers are doing. So I'm excited to look forward to see what's going to happen on MLK Day, where on January 18th, folks, God willing, yours truly will be out there with the brothers, standing with them for the We Are Us movement. It's going to be a day of peace. And there's no better day to do it on other than the great peacemaker himself, our beloved late, great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes,
but
sir.
The streets are coming together on January the 18th. The We Are Us movement, which is composed of pastors and ministers and community activists and CEOs and doctors and lawyers and bishops and all different types of men and women, that we're going to be gathering at noon on the corner of Utah and MLK Boulevard, right there in West Baltimore. Utah and MLK Boulevard is going to be a fantastic demonstration of love and peace. And, Brother Captain, I know that's going to be a signing of the peace agreement, this Baltimore peace agreement. We got 30 seconds. Talk to us a little bit about this Baltimore peace agreement.
Yeah, yes, sir. So, basically, we're going to have brothers from the streets, clergy, ministers, as you talked about, just regular people that's going to sign a peace agreement. And we're going to do something. We're going to start having private meetings with these brothers. We already started it. So everybody may not sign a peace agreement that day, but we already been putting the word out there. And it's basically centered around just respecting our community, not killing and shooting innocent people. But it's something new. And we have to do things different than what we did in 2020. Because we know what doesn't work. So the bottom line is the peace agreement is something we're going to continue to push. And anything positive, you know. And let me say this last thing, Brother Farage, about
yes,
the numbers and the data. Because the bottom line is most of the work we do, nobody records that in regards to the city,
okay,
and the data people. You know, you can't measure the lives that we save. Nobody's counting that. You know what I'm saying? So we're not really tripping off of numbers. But the bottom line is, as he said, we're going to get these murders down, but with the help of everybody else. We know we can't do it by ourselves.
Right.
We need help, and we want to partner with anybody that want to save lives. We don't care who it is. If you want to save lives in Baltimore City, we want to partner with you.
Praise be to the God, man. I praise, man, oh, man. Really quickly, what's the best number that people can have?
For the event?
Yeah.
Just go on our website. We don't have an actual number.
Okay.
And I don't want to get nobody in my phone. My phone rings too much. So
gotcha.
Yeah, just go on the website, www.weareus.org, or go on the social media websites, We Are Us. And they can DM everybody. And if they have any questions or answers, they can get it just like that. And we'll call them if they put that number inside the DM or the inbox.
Fantastic. Thank you, Brother Captain. Brother Ack Brown, Brother Captain Andrew, thank you so much, brothers, for the great work you're doing. And, of course, we want to thank the wonderful brothers and sisters of the We Are Us movement. We look forward to seeing you on MLK Day, brothers. Folks, that's going to do it for us. I want to thank all of you for being a part of the conversation tonight. I want to thank my fantastic watchers on Facebook and all of our wonderful guests, Dean Dwayne Wickham. I want to thank you, sir. Make sure you stay tuned. Up next is Lola Within the Groove. Thank my dynamic production team, Mallory Pinker Pierre, my man Sean Don, and Demi Goff. Stay tuned for In the Groove. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong. Stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow as we talk to the Lieutenant Governor here on For the Culture, right here on WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back.